So where do we start? Tax lien properties. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a few different ways. People call them tax lien properties. They're also called sheriff sales. You have tax delinquent, tax collection, tax lien, mortgage foreclosures. You have judicial sales. You got a lot of different things. In a nutshell, what it means is that somebody's losing their property due to a few things. If you're talking about the tax sales, obviously they didn't pay their taxes. If you're talking about a mortgage sale, obviously they're defaulted on their mortgage. Judicial sales are kind of like mixed in. They're not mortgages, but it's like a variety of different taxes. Because you can have a tax lien from the IRS that doesn't actually mean that you owe property taxes. But at the end of the day, your property still is going to be auctioned off. Seizure auctions, which is still like a lien. It's a little different. They took your house for something different. So I like to dibble in all of them, but my two favorite is tax lien and mortgage foreclosure. Now, I specifically like mortgage foreclosure, but I typically start with clients, or if I'm doing it myself, with tax liens. My very first purchase at a tax lien auction, I want to say it was $6,500, but the person that I purchased that house from got it from the auction for $2,500. So that's how I actually stumbled across a tax lien type of sale.
So where do you go to even find these properties, number one? And okay, how do you know to evaluate them? Like, what's that process like?
Now, it's two different ways to go about it. So you usually just start with your county, because it's not a state-based type of sale. It's a county-based type of sale. And you know you have a few different counties that are in the city. So for instance, let's just say Pennsylvania. We have Montgomery County, Philadelphia County, Delaware County. It's like if you were looking at a map, this would be Pennsylvania, and then you have the different counties right this way. So everybody, that's one of the questions I always get. Can I do this where I live? Everybody has tax lien properties in their area. You just have to go to your county. When I'm looking online, because that's where you start, obviously, you want to look for the websites that have like .gov or .org. And those websites will literally have the information of your sheriff. It will have your county title. It will have like the address of your municipality building or your sheriff's office. So this is how you know this one is legit. This is much different from auction.com and Hubzu. You got to make sure you make that distinction, because some people are like, yeah, auction.com. And you can find properties there, but it's not the same. The numbers are different in terms of what the opening bids are. The values are different. It's not as accurate as if you went directly to your state site and got the information there.
There are some states that don't have tax liens, correct?
Well, I have not ran across anyone that didn't have it so far. And I have clients, Detroit, Atlanta, Miami, Canada. I got some clients spread out. I have not found a state that didn't have it yet. But there's a few different places in the world that do things different. So I won't say no, but I don't have an answer to that.
So what tax lien, is that different from, sorry. So tax lien means you lost your property because you didn't pay property taxes, right?
You are losing your property because you didn't pay property taxes.
You didn't pay property taxes. Mm-hmm. So is that a difference? I mean, it's a form of foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that more appealing, or is it more appealing to buy a tax lien property than just a regular property that's in foreclosure?
No, New York actually does. I see something in chat saying New York doesn't. So the numbers. When you're starting with like a tax lien property, the numbers are much different than a mortgage foreclosure property. Now, specifically speaking for Philadelphia, if I was going to a tax delinquent auction, the opening bid for every property would be $1,500. That's no matter where the property is, citywide. It doesn't matter how much that property is worth. It doesn't matter what that property is zoned for. It can be mixed commercial use. It could be a multi-unit. It could be a lot. It could be a single family home. It could be a detached, semi-detached. The opening bid is $1,500. Now, when you're going to different auctions, it depends on what your opening bid is. Usually with the tax auctions too, there's a set number. Then the difference between that and mortgage foreclosure is mortgage foreclosure auction does not have a set number. They're usually starting wherever the person forfeited on their mortgage. Wherever they defaulted, they're starting at that number. So it's like you're going to get what you pay for. I say that all the time. You're going to either pay it on the front end or you'll pay it on the back end. Mortgage foreclosure, you get the turnkeys, but your opening bid might be $200,000. Your opening bid might be $40,000, $50,000. I root for the underdog, so I'm starting for the people who don't have $200,000. Right. I think $1,500 sounds a little good. And when I sit there and do research with different states It might not be exactly 1500, but the numbers are always lower on a tax auction for the tax lien versus the mortgage foreclosure sale.
So if I'm on the other end of that, right? My house, I got a tax lien. Yeah. Is it a time period that I could try to pay that off, or like is,
you know, right of redemption? It's called the right of redemption. And this, it differentiates depending on where you are. So some people have 9 months. That's called the right of redemption. So the right of redemption is pretty much an owner's right to come back and reclaim their property if they lose it. It's 9 months after the acknowledgement of the deed. But there's a few things that have to happen. It has to be unoccupied at that time. So they have to prove like, hey, I live there. If it's unoccupied or abandoned, there's no right of redemption. They have to give you back your money. So it's not like they say, hey, this is my house, sorry. No, they give you back your money at 10% interest of whatever you purchased it for. And then they say any work you do to it, you get money back for it. But usually after they have to pay all of that stuff and still pay their taxes, they don't come back for it.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that happen. And mortgage foreclosures don't have that at all. So that is something that happens with tax sales. And it also depends. So like in Jersey, I think it's 3 months. Some states, they have 90 days. Some states, there are no right of redemption at all. So this is a part of the research you do when looking at purchasing from tax sales or tax lien auction.
So how can you research? Like what is it, every state's website? Is it a county website?
Yeah. So for me, I started my county website. First of all, you start at the auction site. That's first thing first. You got to think of your strategy. Are you going in to purchase, to buy and hold? Are you going in to do a quick flip? Because I have clients that do that as well. Like you have some auctions that don't require you to buy a house. So for instance, like I was saying with Philly, you go in, the opening bid is $1,500, but you don't actually have to pay for the house that day. You have to put down a deposit. Now the deposit is either $600 or 10%, whichever is higher. So pretty much the minimum that they accept ever is $600. So from the opening bid up to 6,000, you put down 600. Anything past that is 10%. So if you went up to 7,000, you put down 700, 8,000, 800, 9,900. And then they'll give you 30 days to pay the remaining balance. But what a lot of people do is actually sell that property before the remaining balance is actually due. So it's a form of wholesaling minus the intricacies of finding the seller, because the inventory is there. They're auctioning off a ton of properties. And then the numbers are a little bit more appealing for the sell too, because you got it below market value. You got it from an auction. So you could come in here and drop 10,000. You put 1,000 down, you owe 9. You come out and you say, hey, I'm going to sell this property for 20. Anything that you sell it for over the amount that you owe becomes your profit. Okay. So that's it. You got to go on with your strategy first. Like, okay, am I flipping it? Am I keeping it? If you decide that you're going in to keep a property, you look at the auction list, because you can actually see that. That's public record. You can see who's losing their home ahead of time. You can see whether it's a mortgage sale or if it's a tax sale. So what some people do is they'll write it down by zip code or area, or they'll just strictly stick to a specific price point. They say, listen, I only have $5,000 to spend. I'm going to bid on everything that falls within my price point. That's a little risky. The people who are strategizing will say, nope, I actually like 19133, whatever. You'll write it all down. Now, on your website, it will tell you who the owner is of this property. Now, for us on our website, it'll tell you the mailing address of the person who's losing their house. Because you can actually look it up and it'll have the address there that, you know, the property is. And then it'll say mailing address too. So you look at the mailing address. If they match, more often than not, they live in that property. If it's different, that's questionable. So now that's red flag number one. You live here, but your mother's going here. So we're weird. And then now that you have everything all listed out, you could actually do some drive-bys. You're not supposed to go inside the houses. I know somebody that goes and looks inside of them.
Don't say no names.
But some people like, yeah, they want to see. But you know, it's telltale. The grass cut, you know, simple stuff that you would still do driving for dollars. Is the grass cut? Is the broken window? Does it look like the property has been maintained? Is there a bunch of mail stuck in the door? Things that you would typically look for in an abandoned property anyway. You can do that.
How often do these auctions occur? All right. Do we have to go to the county office every week or every month? Like
Every single month. And again, that's for Philly. Now, some sales happen once a year. Some sales are every 3 months. It depends on how vast the inventory is in that area. So that's something else that you look at when you're strategizing. So the first thing that I look at is, what is the opening bid of this property? Like, that's something that I need to know. I need to know what I need to actually bring to this property. What method of payment do they accept? Because you can purchase properties with credit cards. There's a lot of different ways to fund a deal.
Oh, it's not just straight cash? I thought maybe you only could use cash.
But the auction I'm talking about, they don't even allow you to use cash.
Oh, wow.
They don't allow you to use cash. I mean, can you imagine?
You can't use a credit card.
You can't, not the swipe. So you would have to use the credit card, get the funds off, and then convert it into their desired payment method when you get to the auction. No cash, though. You know what type of party that would be in Philly? Everybody in there come with a mitt. You know what they'd be in there doing? No, they don't accept cash.
Money phone.
Salute to Andre Hatchett on the super chat. Our very first EYL University professor, Andre Hatchett, has our first class, and that's on EYL University about the modal notary business. Shout out to Andre Hatchett. Appreciate you. We got a question from one of our EYL University.
Ian, what's going on? Members.
Ian. Hi, Ian.
Ian, unmute yourself. You've been unmuted, man.
Ian, unmute yourself if you can. All right, we'll wait for him to get unmuted, but you had a question?
Yeah, so I'm trying to get this down, right? So the tax lien,
yep,
it goes to the highest bidder, right? Wherever I bid. Now, I don't own the property yet, right?
No.
I have to wait, and if the person pays. So how do I make money from purchasing the tax lien?
No, you're still able to sell it. You definitely want to disclose to your end buyer, though, that if, and this is something that you would know already, when you win that bid, or if you did your research before bidding on that property, if it's owner-occupied. You want to tell the person who's buying it from you what to expect, you know, how to get around it. This was owner-occupied. This is what's going to happen. But if it's a property that's not eligible for the right of redemption, then it's fine. For you, within that 30-day time frame, you get a receipt. I wish I could do like, let's see. You get a receipt. It's a piece of paper that has your name on it. Mm-hmm. It has the day that you won the property. It has the address of the property. It has what's called the RIT number, which is pretty much the identification number of the property. It has how much you put down as a deposit and what you won the amount for. And that's, you have equitable interest in the property, whether it's $600 or not. So that pretty much is like having it under contract. You're able to do whatever you want at that time. Now, I say flip the bid, but it's literally just assigning the bid. Like, hey, I want a property for this amount. I'm going to assign it to Rashad. That's it. I make money from it. It's just like wholesale.
So what's the difference between a tax lien and a tax deed?
So a tax deed is what you get after it's all said and done. A tax lien is what that property is. This property has a tax lien on it. The amount that's owed is the tax lien. The tax deed is what you get when you pay everything off. They'll give you a deed. And that's certain auctions. We get regular deeds. Other auctions give you quit claim deeds. Some people give you those tax deeds. Some of those deeds are restrictive. So again, this is something that you look into when choosing which sale you actually want to go to. Like, I have people who come and fly to Philly. Miami, for instance, the minimum bid is 200, right? Instead of 10%, like Philly is 5%, but they want their money at the end of the business day. That's different. It's not as appealing as 30 days, because if you don't have that money right then and there, it's not good for you, unless you're going in and buy, of course. It just depends. It's different discrepancies. So the tax deed is what you get instead of like a regular deed. You know, you go to a closing table, you get yourself a deed when you close on a house with the HUD, mm-hmm, all that stuff. A tax deed is what you get after you purchase.
All right, we got a question from Tyrone. We're coming to you.
Oh, before Tyrone, YouTube, appreciate you guys. If you could do us a quick favor and like this video, if you could take a millisecond and just hit the like button. If you haven't hit the like button, it really helps with YouTube's algorithm. So yeah, if you could just take a millisecond, it's free. And you won't even burn a calorie. So thank you, appreciate it.
So
Tyrone, what's going on?
What's going on? I had the quick question. These tax lien properties,
yeah.
Will any of these properties have a existing mortgage on them, or how does that work?
No. We typically mortgage foreclosure properties with mortgages on them go to mortgage foreclosure auctions.
Okay.
Tax properties go to the tax sale.
So most of those are free and clear properties.
And that depends on the auction too. Like Jersey, they want you to inherit the debt, but they'll start the bid where that debt is. But Philly, you get them debt free. You get them free and clear of all liens and encumbrances.
Okay. Can you say that again? You said it starts with where the debt is. So if a house has $60,000, is that where the bid's starting?
Yep, in Jersey.
Okay.
In Philly, so in Philly, is debt-free.
Free and clear, all liens and encumbrances.
So
when I got that house for $1,700, that's what it was. It was $1,700. And I think the person lost it. I don't quote me, but I think they owed maybe $20,000 in taxes, but it was wiped away. So when I got that property, I didn't start with their debt.
So in the city of Philadelphia, you got a house for $1,700.
$1,700.
And no mortgage left.
I got one mortgage out of all 20 properties, but yeah, that specific $1,700 property, no mortgage, no debt. I got a 7-unit for $2,000. I got a house for $500 even. That was a different auction. I was in Chester at that time.
$100?
$500, yeah, 500.
Wow.
I got shoes that cost more than that house. I can't lie. And I don't even like shoes. I got shoes that cost more than that house.
Slice done.
Shout out to Mike. He said he's in Atlanta. He's going to look into this. Appreciate the super chat. Love. That's pretty interesting. So does this vary depending? We got a call we're gonna check in on, but so each state is different, each county is different, or
each county is different. Like in Atlanta, they do auctions on the step. It's
like
crazy.
Sit outside and it's like
the guy stand on the step, top of the step, everybody outside, and they bid like that. It's crazy. That one a party, it's like a parade. But every auction does vary based off of what state you are and what county you are purchasing from.
So when you get these properties, $500, $1,700, like you're doing the research on the property online, you're evaluating it online before you see it, or you just like, you know what?
I was about to say, you want me to tell you the truth? Because I'm going to tell you what I do, but that's I'm going great. To heavily advise against a new person doing it.
Okay.
If the number is right, I do not care what it looks like. I don't care what it looks like. Seriously. If I'm in there and you say $3,000, I'm like, I figure the rest out later. Because in my mind, it's like, okay, even if I purchase it for $3,000 and it's hideous, it doesn't have a roof, there's no back. I mean, even if I came out and sold it for $4,000, I made $1,000. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's never that bad when you're talking about property and land. It's never that bad. It might be too bad for me. I might not want to do that type of extensive rehab.
Yeah.
But it's never that bad as to, you know, as long as you go in with the notion of, I'm going to spend this amount of money, I won't surpass this. You got to think about it. If you purchase the property for $3,000, obviously it's going to be worth more than $3,000.
Right.
In my mind, thinking instant equity. Instantly. That's the first
thing. Well, you even think about rehabbing, it's already the value.
It's already worth more than what I purchased it for. So, and then I think about it too. That's just going down to knowing numbers and then knowing your area. It's like, okay, what does a full rehab cost? And you always want to assume the worst. Even if it's not the absolute worst, you want to go and like, I'm going to have to break this whole thing down and put it back together. And then you have that number in the back of your head, because standard, you know what type of person you are. I'm not a flipper. I'm a buy and hold person. So I'm going to put it together really nicely, make sure everything is sound and secure. I'm going to paint it up real pretty, throw some scratch and dent appliances in there, so I know what my rehab amount should cost for a certain square footage. That's for you to know as an investor as well. When you're going in to buy anything, whether it's a tax lien or you're purchasing at market value, you have to go in knowing what you want to do and account for your numbers. I know you guys heard that all the time. It's all about the numbers. The numbers have to make sense. It's all about the numbers. Yeah. It's no different with this strategy. It's
got a bunch of people in real estate saying the same exact thing. We're going to Zoom.
Shout out to Lamont on the super chat. One question before we go to Zoom. I just want to get one YouTube question in. You said, what about water bill or bills owed on the property?
It depends. So when it comes to Philly, all liens and encumbrances are wiped away. I hear that a lot, and sometimes you do have to fight with them. I had a person purchase, it was a client, she purchased the property from the auction. Was it the water bill? It was something on there, and she took it to the sheriff's office and they cleared it up. They had to give her a piece of paper to then take to the title company, because that's something else I hear. You can't get title insurance on sheriff's of property. I had a client from New York. She came in. She got three of them. She did my little training. She got three of them in one day. She didn't even go to the auction with me because I told her I was booked. So I said, hey, come next month. She went the same month. And was like, yeah, I'm in the front. I see you with your clients. But she took what I told her. She did her thing. She got three properties. She ended up keeping two and selling one. I helped her sell that one. I found her a buyer. I financed the deal because I'm a broker as well. And I got them title insurance to be able to close that deal, because you can't get financing without title insurance. So now everybody's like, how'd you do that? You can't get title insurance. It's like, it's a whole world full of people at this auction. Do you think they would be in here buying if you couldn't get title insurance? Like, duh. But yeah,
We got a question from YouTube. From EYO University.
Bilal, what's up?
Bilal, good name right there. What's going on?
Familiar with that name.
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
Everything great.
Good. How are you?
All right, I'm good, man. Thank you for doing this, man. It's been great. Quick question though: can you do this outside of the state that you live in? And if so, what states have you come across with the most favorable terms, I guess, for doing the tax liens?
I'm biased. I really like Philly. I'm really biased. But what is that other place? Not DC, Baltimore. Baltimore is not too bad.
So yes, glad you said Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore is not bad. Some of their properties are actually cheaper than Philly. But I heard that they were cracking down, like they want you to actually live there or something like that. Like you have to show some type of residency. So far, Philly has not got that strict. So I like it. I like Philly for a lot of different reasons. I'm biased, but I'm not being biased at this time.
Well, Philly's are really dope. And that's one of the things that we try to do with the platform too, is that like we're from New York, but we highlight different areas and different regions because it's like the earth is big. A lot of times people complain like, oh, this isn't my state. Well, go to a different state and invest. There's nothing stopping you from investing somewhere else that you don't.
Yeah, it's a toll from New York to Philly. And the crazy thing about it is you can take that money and you can make more money, and then you can take it back to where you live and invest it. You can't just buy it.
For people that's not familiar, we talked about Philly a few times on the podcast with Big Business and John Henry. Philly's a hot spot right now for investment. It's been a hot spot. A lot of areas are becoming gentrified, and the neighborhoods in Philly are starting to really, really turn. It's only 2 hours away from New York City.
From block to block.
It's a central location in the Northeast. And Philly's a real hot spot as far as real estate.
Yeah, y'all coming in now. A lot of people, they getting hip to it and they coming, like even Jersey, substantially our taxes are much lower on properties.
Right? Shout out to Sean Bullard too.
Sean Bullard. Yeah.
Jersey's right there. Why not go over the bridge to make a profit and then go home to reinvest? That's literally what I did. Where I live is not too far from Philly. It's about 2 hours if you do the speed limit. If you make like an hour and a half or less. But that's what I did. I made a lot of investment money in Philly. And then I came here. Here was really profitable for Airbnbs. I even got the property that I live in dirt cheap. Everything that I do is like an investment standpoint, because when you know how to survive with nothing, once you get everything, you move different. It's like different. So this property, it appraised for $655,000. I got it for $318,000 because I was looking at who losing a house. It's about 6,000 square feet that I'm in right now. And this is where I live. Yeah. I had double the equity just moving in, but I got that money from Philly.
Shout out to James for the super chat. Appreciate it. Shout out to
Alawasin
on the super chat. Appreciate it.
Are you so active. Shout out to everybody that's on this EYL.
Well, I appreciate the question, bro.
It's lit right now.
Sabrina, what's up?
I love the engagement.
Sabrina, we coming to you. Unmute yourself.
Shout out to MG, the mortgage guy, on the super chat.
Matt. It's people like Matt that make the world go round. I promise.
That is a fact. Sabrina, what's up?
I promise.
Yo, what's good? This is amazing. I'm about to empty my bank account. So my question is, you know, I'm gonna be biased. She biased with Philly. What do you actually know about New York? Like, how
old? No, I'm afraid of it.
You scared?
I don't know how y'all survive there. How y'all live there and eat?
Yo, you said the hood taught you how to get it, how you live. Same thing here. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like New York, I always joke, I have a lot of New York clients. I say New York is like a third world country. Like y'all a state, but New York a whole different breed. I don't know much about New York.
You have to be respectful of New York.
No, that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying y'all are a different breed of people in terms of survival, in terms of your creativity. Like I have people from New York come to Philly, and the way that they move is like phenomenal. Like how they do stuff, I'm like, damn, I wouldn't have thought of that. Yes, ma'am, you sure can.
I was gonna say I'm gonna look into it some more. I wonder if it's done like broken down by borough, because I don't really like, I don't think we have like counties and stuff out here. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But I want to tell you that there are auctions there, though. I do want to. So that is the truth. You guys do have auctions. Your numbers are not as low naturally as they are in Philly, but you do have auctions. So like you said, it may be borough instead of county. But like even for that, go to New York State. There's cheap places in New York. People just think of New York as like the highest place in the world. Oh my God, it's so expensive. That's true if you are in a certain place or a certain area in New York. If you go to New York State, it's substantially cheaper. Like really cheap, actually. So you want to just take a look and really do your research and take the time. Don't empty your bank account, but I would spend money. Like right now, a lot of people are afraid and they kind of like walking around like this. So this is the thing, you're going to spend money anyway. Your bills are going to come up, you have to eat. So that money just dwindles away little by little. You're going to wish you bought something that's going to give you a kickback at the end of the day. So definitely look into investing, even if you don't feel comfortable traveling. But there's nothing wrong with it. I just say grab a homie, take a trip, go get a cheap house.
Thanks. Heard you.
Appreciate you, Sabrina.
Appreciate it, Sabrina, on the check-in. Shout out to the Bronx.
Yeah, BX, what up?
Yeah.
That Bandu? Bandu, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
Hi. Hello.
Hey. Hey.
How's it going?
Hey, I just signed up for EYL last month, so I'm excited. I learned a lot. I've been following you on YouTube, so I'm excited to be here.
Welcome.
We're excited to have you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you, you said that you were holding 21 properties as of right now?
Yes, ma'am.
So what are you doing with the properties? Are you waiting for like the house value to go up? Are you renting them? Are you going to wholesale? What are you waiting for?
So I'm a buy and hold person. I told you I have 4 kids. Did you hear that in the beginning?
Yeah.
I got a lot of babies. See, they hear now. Every time I'm working, they extort me. Oh, y'all got popsicles? Go sit in the dining room and eat it. Look, so they're like, yeah, I got the popsicle from her. So the majority of them are rented. I have a few of them that need to be rented. Like I said, I don't do mortgages, so not in my LLCs or my personal name. I went in backwards. I was using cash to fix properties and then playing Monopoly. Like if I was running out of money, I would just sell the weakest link. And I was like, all right, this is enough money. Let me fix the next one. The value of all of my properties in total right now is 2 million, if I'm not mistaken. So the equity is there, everything's there. But to me, like values don't mean anything. I'm more in it for the residual income. For so many reasons. Obviously, I like money, but then I also like the freedom, like just being home with my kids. Right now, everything was just freaking out. The pandemic came, the world was over. The fact that I didn't have mortgages put me at ease. I'm okay. Like even if it was a few tenants who couldn't pay, we worked some stuff out. Like, okay, I'll just take this and that from the security deposit. And like, it was a lot of different things that I was able to do. Because I have the comfort of renting out these properties. To me, I'm a people person. I know you guys see how bubbly I am. I don't mind being a landlord. That's not a strategy for everybody, though. It depends on the time that you have. Some people like the property management route. I don't feel like I need a property manager. I feel like property management is the highest form of extortion to me. Because all they do is do the stuff that you could do if you had the time for 8% of your rent every month. But yeah, so me personally, my strategy is I rent them out. The ones that I didn't get around to fixing, they're sitting there. In Philly, all that's required is a vacant property permit. And out of the whole bunch, I have 3 lots. One is a commercial, it's huge, it's like ridiculous. And then the other two, one is zoned where I can build a multifamily on it, and one is zoned for a single family. The rest of them are, you know, regular freestanding properties. So that's what I do, I just rent them out as many as I can.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. Out of the properties that you have, the 21 properties that you have, like what's the total cost of all of them out of your pocket?
How much did I pay to purchase them? Or are you saying how much did I pay to purchase them and fix them?
Yeah. How much did you pay to purchase them without fixing them, like just purchase them?
Oh, so my first year I purchased 9 of them. And I got down to my last 15,000. So I really exhausted that whole 152.
So like 140,000.
That was my first. So the first year was 9. Then I spent the second year trying to fix them up. And then let me see what I got this year. I got a backtrack because I never actually looked at it. I know I have a spreadsheet. My accountant had to.
Just the estimate. I was just curious because it's all tax lien.
I want to say maybe like $250,000, like 250, real close to 250, maybe like 258, give or take a few numbers.
So anytime you feel like, you know what, I'm a little dry, my liquid's running, you just sell a property?
Is that yeah. What? Goodbye. I'm like, okay, which one needs to be fixed? Okay, how bad is it? You get rid of that one.
How many of them did you actually renovate out of the 21?
So far, right now, more than half of them are renovated. But I did purchase a few turnkeys, too.
Okay.
So not everything that I got needed to be rehabbed because not everything I got came from auction. Once I started telling people about the auction, I had to take them to the auction. That's pretty awkward. I'm standing next to a client and I'm bidding, I'm gonna win, right? That's a little weird. So it became, I couldn't really do it anymore, but I got really good with networking. Your network is your net worth. And then you have people who reach out like, you're the tax girl. Well, can you help me save my house? And then it just became a different conversation. Those are the few properties I got before sale. That's another thing too, for anybody that's listening. It's always good to educate yourself. If you are somebody that you know are losing a house, up until the gavel bangs the day to sell, you have the right to that property still. There's times I stopped properties from selling the day of the auction. It was a lady, she was losing her house in South Philly. I got it. It was a mortgage sale. She owed, I think, $21,000 on the mortgage. The bank, she didn't pay in 16 months, so it was $21,000 defaulted. Mm-hmm. Her mortgage in total was $165,000. The auction was for February 5th. That was a Monday. On Saturday, I paid that $21,000 to get it off the sell list and end up doing a subject to with her. But the kicker is, in South Philly, it was worth $400,000. So I got real creative with that $160,000 that she owed. But in the beginning, I did a subject to with her and got it right off the list. She didn't know that she could do that. She didn't know that she could sell
subject to it. What's the subject to?
Oh, so a subject to deal is pretty much you purchasing a property subject to the existing mortgage or the existing liens, whatever's on it. In her case, she had an existing mortgage, so there were no other liens on it because your taxes are embodied in your, whatever your mortgage payment should be.
So you got, so at the end, she gets the house back or do you
know? No. I got the house. You think I just give away $21,000? It's not Christmas.
The way you said it at first, you like, I try to help her.
So obviously, if you are going to do a subject to that, which now is really ideal. Like people right now, they like shaking in their boots. Listen, when you feel like there's no opportunity, that is the perfect opportunity to create opportunity, okay? You have people now who are afraid. You can take advantage of that. You have people who are losing their houses. You have people who don't know what to do. You guys can do subject twos. You can do lease purchase options. You can call some of these people up prior to the auction for you wholesalers. You're like, I don't have no money. How do I get started? I don't even have the 600. You guys can be wholesaling these properties for the people who are losing them. It's all about just educating yourself on the process. So with a subject two, I use another example. Let's say Rashad, he's losing a property. He has a mortgage of $100,000. He's back on his mortgage 10, right? You're like, listen, I don't know what to do. They're about to take it. I owe these people $10,000. I don't have it. You call me. I go in the closet. I put the cape on. Dun, 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 dun. Tie it up. I say, hey, Rashad, this is what we're going to do. What do you want for the property? Some people actually walk away from the property without a lot of money. The ball is in your court now because they run the risk of ruining their credit, first of all. Because when you get a foreclosure, that hit. That's like about 7 years and you just, you know. So moving forward, your credit is damned. You can't really buy another house. Renting becomes a hassle. You know, so some people walk away just with the dignity. They're like, no, listen, you can have this. Listen, I don't want much. Some people want a little extra on the top. So Rashad might say, hey, I want $5,000 to walk away. Okay. So now it's the $5,000 that he wants plus the $10,000 that he owes, right? Yeah. And then I'll call you. And I'm like, listen, I got this property for rent. You give me first, last, and security. That's $5,000, right? And you can move in that property. When you move in that property, you're going to be paying the mortgage because there's still an existing mortgage. Remember, he still owed that $50,000. Your mortgage payment could be whatever. Let's just say it's $1,000 a month at the time. You'll pay me that $1,000 a month plus two. So let's say I'm making $1,200 off of it. The $1,000 goes to the mortgage. The two just goes in my pocket. Keep in mind right now, it's not fully my property yet until we get rid of that $50,000. I'm just the person who gets the deed because you'll do like a deed of trust. So with a subject to, Rashad will stay on the mortgage, but I go on a deed. Once the mortgage is satisfied, yes. Once the mortgage is satisfied, I'm the last man standing. And that's how it works. So obviously contractually, you got to make sure you sign it. So once the mortgage is paid off, Rashad don't come back. Because then you got to put Rashad in the chokey.
South Philly South.
I see some people asking about your Instagram. My Instagram is Rosebuds Investments, right?
Yeah.
I'll put it in the thing. I think we have a
Lucinda, we are coming to you. You've been so patient. Thank you. You are unmuted. Unmute yourself.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I'm an investor in South Florida, and I actually looked into tax deed in Broward.
Broward County?
Yes. just north of Miami, Dade County. And here, when you purchase a tax deed, you know, it wipes away all the liens except for federal. If there is no federal, then they hold like a, I don't know if it's called a hearing or what, but you go to court and basically anyone that wants to say that they own something on that property, they have to come in. If they don't, you get a quick deed.
Quick claim deed.
Then you can sell it after you get the quick deed. And then your title is clean. So in Philly, you're saying in 30 days, if the owner does not try to get back the property, you can get a free and clear title to sell?
No. So the right of redemption in Philly is 9 months after the acknowledgement of the deed. So, okay, what happens is you go to this auction, you win the bid, you put down a deposit, or let's say you want to pay it all off that day. You do that, you then wait for them to issue you the deed. Sometimes it takes a month. It depends on who's in the office and how fast they're doing what they're supposed to do. You then get that deed. Within 9 months from the time you get the deed, they have the right to redeem the property. So that's the right of redemption. So it's not 30 days. You're welcome, as the winning bidder, have 30 days to pay for your actual bid. But the actual owner, as long as the property is owner occupied, they have 9 months after you get your deed to stand up and say, hey, this is my property.
I want to just jump in real quick. I love how, thank you for that question. Lucinda, appreciate that. I love how you just working this whole vibe. Like if anybody just late, she just had a baby 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I really had a baby 2 weeks ago.
Y'all
look at the camera on because she'll be right here. That's all she
does. She just in the middle, I see you got your kids like running up to you and you're like giving them water. You're like,
somebody brought you water.
This is
my 3-year-old. She is my best friend. She's a me. She's the same.
It's amazing to see that happen. So shout out to all the women out there making it happen, being a boss and also being a mother as well. That's not easy to balance that, I'm sure.
It's fun. I mean, the best part for me is just knowing that there is no balance. Like you'll watch a certain thing or you'll idolize a certain idea right in your mind. And I see women that's like nervous. They always tell their kids like, be quiet, I'm on the phone. If your kid is somewhere quiet all the time, something wrong with your kid. Your kid is not supposed to be standing there quiet. So for me, I just really embrace the fact that you are a mom, but this is what you do it for. Like there's even been times I would take, not all of them, but I would take one of my kids to a seminar. I had a mastermind one day. I took one of my kids because I want them to know that you don't have to choose. To be quite honest, you can't really choose. You can't choose. You think about what happens when you do choose. Like you have parents, not just moms, you have dads too. And they go so hard to provide for their kids. They like working all day and night for them. They making this money. But then they missing the importance of watching their kids grow up. Like I remember how that felt. I was a cashier at ShopRite when I had my first kid. And I almost missed his first steps. Like his dad, he's my husband now. He's my boyfriend at the time. He like sending me little clips on the iPhone. I'm like, I'm leaving. Like what the hell is going on? To me, that's not worth it. Like that's not a risk that I'm willing to take. Like I would rather do it this way and just know that it's okay. Like nothing wrong with being a parent.
Yeah, salute to you. I got a question. So that right to redemption thing, right?
Yep.
That period. Let's say I pay for the tax lien, right? But the person who had the lien during that time period, they actually come up with the money. Do I lose my money or how does that work?
No. So first of all, they have to live there. I gotta say that. This property is supposed to be owner occupied. Then they have to pay their taxes. Because you have to keep in mind, there's a few things that happen before you lose your house. They send you notices, a lot of them. They stick stuff on your door. They're like, you're losing your house. So you know full on ahead of time. You can get on payment arrangements ahead of time. There's things that can be done ahead of time. By the time it gets to that point, it's like, come on, all right, right? So they have to pay their taxes. They then have to pay you your purchase amount at 10% interest. Mm. And then any money that you put into the property, let's say you did some stuff to it, they're supposed to give you that money too. Not at interest, they just give that back. So anything that you did to correct any violations, let's say you got the grass cut, L&I, license and inspection, came and cited you, you paid for that, they have to give you that back too. And none of the stuff that they pay you pertaining to the money you spent on the property is at interest. only your acquisition is at 10% interest. But
do the interest rates change, or is it a standard 10%?
It's a standard 10%. As of right now, they might decide, you know, later in life that, hey, we're going to make it 15, or they may lower it. But right now, it's a flat 10% on your acquisition.
Got you. Allison, we are coming to you. Allison, you have been unmuted. Please unmute yourself.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Thank you for taking my question.
Allison, I'm in Brooklyn.
Allison, I was just thinking that. Allison.
We gotta address this, because it's like one of the things about being in New York. Like, if you ask somebody from the Bronx where they from, they'll say New York. If you ask somebody from Harlem where they're from, they say New York. Long Island, Queens, anywhere they say New York. If you ask somebody from Brooklyn where they're from, they'll say Brooklyn. Every sports team is the New York Yankees. It's the New York Giants. It's the New York Jets. The one Brooklyn sports team is the Brooklyn Nets. Like the Brooklyn Pride. Brooklyn Pride is
absolutely
different. Brooklyn Pride is
thoughts on Allison.
Yes. So my question is, how can this method go wrong? Can you give us an example of when someone used this methodology and they didn't do the right thing? And then what were the repercussions?
Yes. Okay. So with the quick flip, if you don't flip that house in the 30 days, you lose your money. That 600 you put down, phew, out the window. If it was 600, overbidding. It's nothing like being there. Like, I actually had this on my bullet point, online auctions versus live auctions. It's like a ego type of thing when you're in an auction. So I stand up, I say 1500, you say 1600. So I'm like 1700. 1800, we like into it. Now I'm bidding against you. I'm not even bidding on the property anymore because you like 10,000. I'm like 15,000, right? It get crazy. Before you know it, you overbid on the property. And you're like, damn, I was not supposed to spend that much, but I couldn't let her punk me. Allison came from Brooklyn. This is my auction.
Absolutely.
A lot of times. Yeah, so that's another time where it can go wrong. Underestimating too, just numbers. You got to really be mindful and focused. That's why we don't go alone. We go as a group. Even when I was doing it by myself, I had one person who would go with me to keep track of the numbers as I was bidding, because you have to know, hey, a full rehab is this. Do not go past this, because you can walk into a property and it could be a drop top. You would have thought you got a car. There's no roof on this house at all. Like, and you're like, uh-oh. How much roof?
Ceiling missing.
Seriously. It's a property that I had. It's called the Tree House. My first kid, that's what I call it. It's my first house kid. It had a tree in the back that was coming on the inside like it belonged there. You can't charge your rent. You got to get that tree out of there. And I let that house sit for probably 2 years at first, because I never seen, you got to remember, I'm coming in as a newbie. Everything I did was just like on the strength. Like, I'm going to figure this out. I never saw a tree inside a house ever. They don't belong there. So when I did get it, I was like, what do I do with this? And I let it sit just until I figured it out. And I'm glad I did, because my first thought was to hurry up and sell it. That was the one that I had purchased for 65. And I was getting offers for it. I think the highest offer I got was 12.5. And I was trying to get rid of it for 15. You know, it just didn't work. Whatever, I let it sit there. And eventually the house up the street from it sold for 125. Michelle Phillips. I think you guys, it was Matt actually interviewed Michelle Phillips. She's a realtor in Philly. She sold a house up the street for like 125. That house was smaller than mine, right? So I started getting quotes for fixing it up. To remove the tree from the rooter to the tutor, everything, 58,000. I got it for 65. For rehab, the highest number I got was 58. Everything was between 56 and 58. So I'm going to just give you the max. I'm going to say 58 plus that 65. And a house up the street that was smaller than mine sold for 125 equity. Again, you get what I'm saying? So like, numbers just making sense. So the worst thing that can happen is you overbidding on a property, you going in attempting to flip it and you don't flip it. You underestimate rehabs. So like, again, just spending too much money on a bid. You don't want to do that. It's not a match. It's not like may the best man win. If this not for you, bow out gracefully. Don't let your pride and your ego have you in trouble. Because that does happen. And being greedy, that's something else that happens too. You go in, you put down $600, right? And you come out and you say, hey, I want to sell this property for $20,000. That's fine. I've seen people like, well, the house is worth $300,000. I'm going to sell it for $100,000. If you don't have a person that has $100,000 ready to buy this house from you, regardless of what it's worth, you're now being greedy. Oh, you put down with 600, you know? So there's just a few things that can go wrong. But as long as you go on with a strategy, you'll be fine.
Thank you, Allison.
That was a great question. Thank you. Shout out to L Mac on the super chat. I have a question. Would it be hard getting an owner occupant out of the house once you buy it due to squatter rights? I've heard horror stories about homeowners trying to get renters out of their homes. I guess that depends on your different areas, but how does
it? I was about to say, Philly doesn't have squatter's rights anymore. I've seen it go good and I've seen it go bad. February was the last auction that Philly had. March, you know, starting in March, they canceled everything because of the corona. January, a group of people went in together. They purchased a property that had a tenant in there. They still sold it. And they was able to get rid of that. Well, it's not a tenant. She actually lived there. She lost her house, so, you know. But they was actually able to get rid of her. I've seen people do cash for keys. Like I said, now it's no squatters rights anymore. But even with people who were squatters, I've seen people do cash for keys. I've seen owners duck you. Like, they know they lost their house. They, like, locked themselves in it. But inevitably, they have to leave. You can file ejectments. It's certain stuff that you can do. I know a person, I can't say no names. They start doing crazy stuff. They turning the water off on you. They might take your back door off while you sleep. It's a lot of different things that go on when dealing with squatters, but for Philly, we don't have squatters.
I got a question. How competitive is this space, right? Because I'm thinking if you're doing this like a single person, I mean, are you competing with banks? Who are you competing with?
It got real bad. So mortgage foreclosures, you do have bank representatives there. Tax delinquent, you have people who are there. It has became more competitive from my first time going to now, because obviously I told a lot of people, then people told a lot of people. It's a thing. It's a lot of people that's there. I want to say it's competitive, but it's still room for everybody because there's a lot of inventory that's still there. Some properties are stayed and postponed. Postponed meaning it's not for sale at that time. The court order that required that property to be sold has been, you know, set aside for whatever the reason. And stayed means it's not for sale at all. Maybe somebody came through and did the subject to brought the house for the sale. But for the ones that do actively sell, it depends. And what I see a lot of is people bidding together. So you guys come together, 50,000 apiece, I got 100,000. And then you got me in there with my little 600 trying to make it happen, right? So now I'm all big. But it's three different people that I could have brought with me and put money together. So it really just depends. And it also depends on the time that you go to the sale. Like, it's a whole different world with that too. Tax time, obviously, is the most interesting. Christmas time, obviously, is the driest. People want to buy Christmas toys instead of houses. Summertime, a lot of people on vacation. They're not in the auction. So it's a lot of different things that can play a part in how competitive it is at that time. But it's an auction, so I'm not going to say it's church in there.
Shout out to Earn Your Leisure. We got a super chat. It seems like somebody that has access to our YouTube account decided to give us a super chat from our own bank account. Appreciate it. Thank you, Michael.
Alice, we're coming to you. Unmute yourself. You gotta switch back to your account, Playboy. Alice, unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
Hey, can you hear me?
We are perfectly, Alice. Good evening.
Elise,
I'm sorry.
It's cool. All right. So my first question, do you need a lawyer to do all of this? Or like when you go to court to actually?
No, you don't go to court. You don't go. Oh, you're saying for the right of redemption period? Yeah. Well, you could get a lawyer. You don't need a lawyer. It really depends on how hard you want to fight for that property. Like 10% interest, I don't have to find a buyer. I'm just sell it back to the owner. But you have the option to get a lawyer if you want to, but you don't need one. And that's it, because you can literally go on with a strategy to purchase properties that are not eligible for the right of redemption. Just go look for the abandoned ones. Go look for the ones that you know is not eligible for the right of redemption because nobody lives there. Can't be owner occupied if it's boarded up, you know? So it depends on how you go in it. How you go in is usually going to determine how you come out of it.
Shout out to, thank you for that question. That was an excellent question. Shout out to Sharice on Super Chat. They said, how long do you have to wait to get title insurance for Philly? Are there any stipulations?
So it depends on the title company that you go through. Annette, that was the client that I was talking about from New York. I feel like she had the property for 3 months and we got her title insurance. It's literally some title companies, and they charge you up. Obviously, you get what you pay for. But there's some title companies that only focus on tax property. Like, just because a lot of people aren't willing to take that risk. But it's title insurance companies out there that will do it. It's title companies who do it. But the quickest I've done it, like I said, was 3 months. And it might have been two, but I'm going to say three. Give it the benefit of the doubt.
Appreciate it. D'Angelo, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
D'Angelo, you there?
There you go.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah,
good. Hey, first I would like to say thank you guys for doing what you're doing for everyone. And I appreciate just being a part of this family.
Appreciate you, bro.
Thank you.
Welcome to the family.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm based out of Orlando, Florida. I've done a couple of tax deed properties in Georgia. And I've done the foreclosure in Miami. I own a house now in Miami. And I paid $49,000 for this particular house on foreclosure auction, and the ARV on this property is $300,000. And I mean, so what she's saying is true. But there's another part of this game I want to ask the young lady: does she know about the tax certificate auctions? Where do you know about that, ma'am?
No, so I've heard of it.
Yeah,
I'm a creature of habit.
It's hey, let me tell you, this part of the game is. It's for those that have a lot of money, a little bit of money.
Yeah.
What they do is they only go for the properties that are like $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 on up. And what their objective is to get the interest off of the property. It's to get the interest, you know what I'm saying? If they spend $300,000 and you getting 10% or whatever on that $300,000. And they're hoping that someone redeems the property so that they can actually
get their money back.
Right. Yeah. That's how they move their money around in order to avoid taxes, so to speak. You know, mm-hmm. You understand? And that's another part of the game.
Now, I didn't know that it was an actual name for that. So I'm familiar with the actual structure. They call it creative structure. And so I'm familiar with that structure. I didn't know it was a name. So thank you for introducing the name.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah, so what he's saying, that's a real thing too. Mm-hmm. They do that at Philly. Now they're not going after the property that are as high as the $300,000.
Right.
And I knew you was gonna say it when you said you got it for $49,000. In my mind, I thought it's the ARV property about $400,000.
Oh yeah.
I was a little off, but I was close. Cool. So what they do is they'll call it like a lease purchase option. So they'll spend some money on this property. It'll be a mortgage foreclosure, so obviously it is more than the tax sale. But then what they'll do is lease purchase, and they'll kind of go after the people who can't qualify for a mortgage, right?
Right.
And they'll do like a rent to own. And it's structured really odd because it's like, listen, if you don't pay me 1 month, everything you gave me is mine. But going in, they'll, charge a down payment and literally do exactly what you're saying. They'll just do it on a monthly basis opposed to the outright upfront cash.
Now see, the thing with this is this is for tax certificate auction. You have the two. They're totally different. You got the tax certificate auction, and then you have the tax deed auction. The tax certificate, you're only purchasing the certificate of whatever they owe on the taxes.
And so you're just like a first priority lien holder.
Right. There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all. I just wanted to,
So listen, let's barter. You send me an email. You teach me some tax certificate.
Hey, no problem.
Anytime. I'll bid on the property for you.
Hey, with the numbers that you guys got in Philly, I'm looking to come in and break bread anyway. So, hey.
Good.
What about 4%?
Come on down.
D'Angelo, don't forget to find us. We appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, that highlights, shout out to D'Angelo, but I'm glad he asked that question because that highlights. So, everybody on YouTube, if you just joined YouTube, this is open house to what we do every single week at EYL University. Once a month, we open it up to the public. But that's something that's really been going on a lot in our private real estate group. Is a lot of people in there with a lot of information and knowledge, and it's become a real community. And they share with each other, they share with us, and we bring experts in the field in. And you got a private book club and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So EYL University is more than just like learning. It's actually a community where people interact with each other and actually can build. So We want to invite everybody. Everybody that's on YouTube right now that's watching, we want to invite everybody.
Yeah.
As I said, it's $199 right now for the entire year, which includes 60 past webinars, weekly webinars, the book club, the private real estate group, and the networking opportunities is just tremendous. Everybody is in there. We got to invite you in there, actually, on the Facebook group as well. We had a lot of our previous alumni in there.
Yeah. I want to speak to that, too, because I see it all the time. We all go into the same place, but we try to take different ways to get there instead of carpooling. Obviously, that's an analogy. But when I started out, I didn't really have a community. I didn't know what to do. Like, my first wholesale lesson was at the table. Like, I met a guy on Instagram. It was a property that looked really good. I negotiated, so I was proud. I think he wanted 60. I talked him down to maybe like 50, 52. Get to the closing table. It's the guy I met on Instagram who showed me the house. And it's another guy signing all the paperwork. So I'm like, well, who's that? Right, you know, I'm the newbie. I'm like, who's that? They're like, oh, that's the owner. I'm like, well, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm a wholesaler. I was like, what? He's like, you signed the assignment contract. I was like, huh? He's like, the agreement to sell the assignment contract. His fee, his wholesale fee was $15,000. I spent $15,000 to learn about wholesale. Y'all can learn for free on YouTube right now, but I didn't know, you know, what avenues to take. If you got access to a group like that, you should do it. It makes you feel more comfortable because not everybody around you is going to understand. I literally had to become a millionaire. I'm the first one in my family for people to understand what I was doing. When I sold the house, they trashed me. Oh, you sold the house? You were supposed to keep it. Keep it for what? Like, what were we going to do with it? All live in it? Could we fix it up? What were we going to do? We couldn't pull the equity out. Nobody had good credit. What were we going to do if we kept it? You understand what I'm saying? Everybody, they talk crazy. I remember my first time on the radio and my cousin called and she was like, I heard you on the radio. I was like, oh my gosh, you so decent. I was like, why? Because I was on the radio. I was your cousin my whole life. Am I only decent now? Like, it became a thing. So to be in a group with like-minded individuals really makes a difference. Even if like, because like I said, when I go to the auction, I see a lot of different communities of people and they putting their money together. Like, it's like 5, 6 of them. And they winning. And it's like, well, if 10 of you guys got $1,000, I mean, it's stimulus time. That's 10,000 right there. What could you do with that? Could you then go to Ohio? Could you then go to Indianapolis? Could you go to Chicago? And could you buy a 13 unit? Like in Detroit, it's a 13 unit right now, which I'm putting some people together. I said, let's buy this 13 unit. Like, we don't need to do purchase and rehab. We don't even got to worry about that. Half of us will fund the purchase, the other half will fund the rehab. A community is good for so many things, especially if you're trying to get something done. Like, capitalize off of each other's strengths and weaknesses. You might have a good negotiator. Like, somebody might have great credit and no money. Somebody might have a lot of money and bad credit. That's an ideal team. And I just like really want to preach togetherness. Like, if you have a group of that many people and that much knowledge, you got 60 classes you can just learn and play around with, because you have to find a strategy that works for you too. Like, don't get caught up. Like, I'm not your guru. You got people that's like the real estate guru. Everybody's an expert. All of it is real gimmicky, and you really have to be careful where and how you spend your money. But if you take that time to educate yourself, can't nobody really get over on you because you know now. And there's nothing better than to make like an informed decision. So go watch the classes. We lock on house. Like,
go watch the classes.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's going to cost you less than a textbook in your MBA program. That's a fact.
Yeah, code EYL199.
I say it. It's like paying for college and then getting a refund check. I say it all the time. I have a little a close-knit group. My group just real small and intimate because I can't deal with a lot of people because everybody has questions and they be tugging at you. I'm like, wait, my baby's still small. I can't do the big group chat, but I really appreciate big groups like this and just putting the information out there.
We got a question.
Shan, what's going on?
Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. So I have a question. I wasn't sure. What does the title insurance? Why would you need the title insurance?
So title insurance is like having car insurance, kind of. When it comes to title insurance, it pretty much is just saying that the property that you are getting is debt-free and there's no discrepancies with it. So it's also saying that you are the owner. Like, a person can't come back from 10 years ago like, wait, that was actually my house. It's actually insuring the title. It's like health insurance is insuring you. making sure that you're cool. And if something is to come up, your insurance covers you. That's the same thing with title insurance. You should always have it. With quick claim deeds, which is why I don't do them. I've done a few of them, but it was a real intimate situation. I literally did maybe two of them before. And you don't get title insurance on quick claim deeds unless you go through a lot of hassle to get insurance on quick claim deeds. So the title insurance means you're going to pay this certain amount. You're not going to be responsible for anything outside of what you agreed to pay. They get off all of the back water bills, gas bills. Any debt that could be associated with their property is wiped away, and your insurance is solidifying that. So you want to have title insurance. Like, you want to have title insurance.
Thank you, Shan.
Shout out to Pete.
Our guy.
On the super chat, he said, y'all join EYL if you haven't already. Appreciate that. EYLU if you haven't already. And somebody asked, what's the code? The code is EYL199, but you have to go on the annual to get that code, EYL199 at EYLUniversity.com.
Pete, oh, that's our guy. Shout out to you, Pete. Maurice, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. Shout out to you, Pascal. I see you in the comments, too.
Hey, what's going on?
Everything good.
Hey, I jumped on a little late, man. I was coming from work. I was trying to figure out, man, where did she find those lists at for the tax liens?
So it depends on where you are. Like I said, when you go to your county and you look at the county website, it'll give you a list of your county auctions, and the list is on there. It'll say upcoming sales, and then it'll say upcoming properties for those specific sales. And then you can print it out. Some counties make you buy it. And I think it's like $10 a list, if I'm not mistaken. Some of them do charge for it, but usually it's public record. So you could just go right online and find it.
Thank you. Good looking.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you, Maurice.
Appreciate you, Maurice.
All right, we got, I want to say this right. Aid. I'm thinking it's Aid. Let's see. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, y'all.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm a new member of EYL. I want to thank y'all for changing my life, and I'm just starting off. So,
welcome.
My question is, once you buy the properties for cheap, when you pay taxes, are you paying taxes on the amount that you buy the property for, or are you paying taxes on the amount that the property is worth?
So that depends on your accountant, your CPA, when you like file your taxes at the end of the year. If you're speaking to property taxes, it goes off the value, and you do that once a year. So like the lots that I have, the yearly taxes is very cheap, like $150, $125. Some of the houses that I have that are in bad areas, well, worse areas than some of my others, are cheaper too. So they tax you based off of the value of your property.
Okay, I see. Okay, the value of your property. Okay, that makes sense. All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you, brother. Okay. Okay.
So people are looking on YouTube and they're asking, like, is it this easy? What are some tips that you would give people that literally tomorrow are going to be searching up all this information? What are some tips that they should know before they hit their computer tomorrow morning?
Don't overthink it. I'm a really optimistic person, so everything is easy. Like, that's the way that I live my life, because if I start to think that stuff is hard, it's hard, literally. There's a quote that says, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right either way. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the real thing. Your mind controls everything that you do. So if you're going to go online tomorrow, pay attention. Because remember I said you have to make sure you are looking at accurate sites. So make sure this is your county site, not Hubzoo. Not auction.com, not Zillow foreclosure, none of those things. And I'm not taking away from it. I'm just saying they don't provide accurate information. So take your time. Once you find what you're looking for, don't get analysis paralysis. Don't be like over, because sometimes it will say, this is a tax lien. And then you're like, what type of tax lien? It's a tax lien. What you mean? This property is for sale. Well, what's wrong with the property? Listen, just look at your numbers. Go in when you start looking for these properties, already kind of know what you want to do. Know if you want to go in with the flip. Know if you want to go in and do buy and hold. You got to kind of have a strategy, because that's going to make a difference when you actually do find the houses, because they're there. They're literally like a list of them. I don't know how far, depending on where you are, how far ahead they let you see. I know certain sites will let you see sales for the rest of the year. Right now, things are a little wacky because some sales have been combined or pushed into the next month and stuff like that. But for the most part, they'll let you see a vast majority of what's being sold. And then you'll just have a bunch of properties in front of you, and that can be scary for some people. Like, you just starting out, you're like, okay, here it is. I found the 300 houses. Now what? Like, that's going to pop up for some of you guys. You got to kind of know what you want to do going in.
Veronica.
To me, it's that easy. And it's not even just because, like, I've been doing it for a while. My very first auction, I went with somebody who's the complete opposite. And she was like, no, don't bid on this. Don't bid on it. Like, she kept talking. I'm like, all right, $1,500. And I won the property. That was my first time there. She couldn't believe that it was my first time there. But that's, like, the type of heart I got. That's the type of spirit that, it's not for everybody. I ain't gonna lie. But ownership is for everybody. Especially in times like this, I feel like they had to really, like, show us. They put the mirror in front of us. What you don't own, you don't control. I say that all the time. And a lot of people, they, like, stuck because they put a lot of their trust into a system that's not necessarily designed for us. Like, Rashad, you posted something earlier. And it said pretty much just betting on yourself the same way you would bet on a job. And it was a lot of good comments, positive comments. But, you know, it's always a few people who, you know, have an opposed opinion. And it was like, you have to stop trying to force entrepreneurship on everybody. And I was going to comment on it, but I didn't want to make the block hot before we start live.
I posted that. That was just something that, you know, I'm on my Twitter rants these days.
Yeah, Twitter safe.
And I just ran the Twitter, and I just thought of something. I'm like, you know, we go, like, a person might go on 10 job interviews. That's common, right? And it's like, I'm not stopping until I find a job. And that's honorable. That's commendable. But it's like, imagine, like, if you start one business or you do one investment, it doesn't work out. And it's like, that's not for me.
Gave up.
But it's like, why not use that same persistency?
You have to bet on yourself. I say that. Like, when I sold the property for 152, I ran into an investor and he talked to me about equity, all that stuff. He said, hey, you could have sold this for 300. I could have looked at it like, no, I got robbed. This not for me. I didn't know what I was doing. This is loss. You understand? I made 150, but I could have been like, I could have made more. I got cheated. I could have got really crazy. I was like, okay, so where's that other 250? I'm going to go find that. And that's what made me actually start to reinvest in properties. It's really, like, depending on how you look at stuff, you really have to look at it with a positive outlook and really, like, trust yourself. Because, okay, you have a job. Right? Right now, if you're essential, you're blessed. You're lucky. But are you really? Because to me, essential is sounding a lot like disposable. The stuff that these people, I'm saying, I'm going, I got really close friends. They nurses and doctors. My best friend, we the same age, we're best friends. She's a nurse. And she cries. She's like, I'm watching people die. And I'm like, do I really want to be essential? To me, livelihood is essential. Ownership is what's essential. Like, that's the real bag right there. And most people don't have stuff. Even like you comfortable, you living in your house, right? Let's say you're living in a house and you've been renting it for 10, 15 years, whatever. You're comfortable. I know people who rent for 15, 20 years and they are comfortable, right? Let's say that landlord, you know, was making a lot of money off of these rents and just bought themselves a nice house with a mortgage and they can't afford their mortgage payment and decide they want to go home. Now you're at the mercy of that person. Now, hopefully your landlord not a nut and like, you got to go. I need somewhere to go. Hopefully they nice. But at the end of the day, that's the chance that you take when you put your livelihood into someone else's hands that way. So I just feel like even if you're not an entrepreneur, you can still make some money from ownership and still go to work. I mean, if that's what you want to do. But I feel like we all worth like that fight. This the same land that our ancestors was dying over. They said 30 acres and a mule. They had to go through a lot for this. And we just pass it up. Like, I don't want that. I was like, what? Okay. I'll take it. But eventually, I can't buy everything. So I just want everybody to know it's important. Because you owe it to your children, too. Like, they say it all the time, and it's so cliche. Like, you can't leave your kids a job. That's the real thing. Like, a lot of people went out too soon with this whole COVID thing. And they left their folks to just figure it out. And I don't think that's fair. Yeah.
That's a fact. Somebody asked, where to enter the code. So you go to EYLUniversity.com. And go to the annual side, and then after you enter your email, where you know right before you pay, it has a code, and enter the code EYL199. That's how you do it.
Veronica,
got two more questions. Two more questions.
Hello.
Okay, Veronica.
I really felt that what you said about essential workers being disposable. I am an essential worker, but I am choosing to stay at home with my kids. And, you know, we're living off of one income right now because my husband is an essential worker as well. But I did start to feel that way, and that's what made me go harder in this real estate field. So my question, I have two questions for you. You said that you had brought the property cash from the tax lien auction.
Yep.
And I know you said something about your rehab that you paid cash for it. My question is, like, to do the rehab, I think you said it. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. If I was to go, because I live in Florida, our auctions are like $40,000-$50,000 to win an auction or more. If I was to go into that, is there any way that I can get a like go to the bank and get a loan for the rehab, or like?
Of course. So are you saying if you purchased the property in cash first and then needed to fix it up afterwards?
Yeah.
It's a lot of different ways to go about it. I'm not big on loans, but so it depends on your credit. Like I said, you can use credit. Most people don't really just think about how the game could be played, because it's a lot of stuff that we don't know. You could get an LLC and then you could get business credit. You can get 5 LLCs and then get business credit for all 5.
Not to cut you off, we got a business credit class next week.
Yeah, I was about to say. Listen, I mean, Trump not my guy, but he has been bankrupt a lot of times and didn't lose his money yet because it's his businesses that are actually bankrupt. So it's a lot of different ways around it. When it comes to beginners, I don't suggest you jumping right out into loans unless you know what you're doing, unless you have contractors, unless you've actually done a rehab. Because what ends up happening is you owe those people their money either way, whether you get it right or you get it wrong. In the meantime, you owe them plus whatever interest is tacked onto that. But when it comes to credit cards, and I'm not telling you not to pay your credit card bills. I'm just saying, like, a closed account is a dispute. A loan is a loan, and it's coming. So you can do a lot of different things. You can get private money for it, purchasing rehab loans. You can actually go and pull the equity out the house if there is any. Like, they call it the cash out refi. It's a lot of different ways you can pull different funding to get the property fixed. Once it's yours. You can do what you want, really, to get it fixed.
Okay. All right. And my second question, you spoke about partnering up. Mm-hmm. How would that work as far as, like, if I had, like, 3 people to pool in mm-hmm. some money for the
You equity. Can do it.
I mean, for the tax lien, how would it work on a, like, after we
get level? Are you saying on a contractual level, or are you saying it would be, you could do a joint venture. You can do a joint venture, or you can create a LLC and put all of you guys on it. The operating agreement will show who has what percentage of ownership of the company. If it's 3 of you guys, it would be like 33.3, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Or you can do, like I said, a joint venture. The property will go in somebody's LLC. If another person is funding it, they can just hold a promissory note on it. There's a lot of different ways to go about it. You want to always make sure you do contracts, especially with people you know. You actually want to make sure you do contracts with people you know first, because sometimes those are the ones that go wrong. But it's really just depending on how you want it structured. What are you guys doing with your exit strategy? You know.
Appreciate you, Veronica.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Sabrina, what's up?
Oh, hello. Okay, so cool. I got 2 questions. The first one is, the 10%, is that only in Philly, or does it vary state by state?
It varies. Like I said, Miami is 5%. Atlanta is a numeric amount. I think it's like 500. Some people is like $1,000 entry. It depends on where you starting your bid at, like what county you're in and what state you're in.
All right, and my last question is, so you said you walk into the auction knowing, like, the complete rehab course, so you don't, you know, go over or whatever with what you're
area wise, but anything under a certain number, I'm like risking it all.
Do you have a specific, like, program or tools that you use to come up with the number before you walk into the auction?
Running a comp, but to be quite honest, if you are a person who's, like, just starting out, you can go on HomeSnap, you can go on realtor.com, and you can see what sold in that area. Like, it'll tell you, hey, this sold for $100,000. This one up the street sold for $110,000. So at that point, you can get an idea of what your ARV is going to be. There's a strategy. You look at the last three that sold, you add all of them up and divide by three. Boom, that'll give you after repair value. Some investors say the 65% rule. So you don't want to spend more than 65% all in of whatever that after repair value is. And then at that point, that's your number. Now your all in should account for purchase and rehab, right? So then at that point, you'll say, okay, I'm going to spend this amount acquisition and let the rest be for rehab. Best case scenario, you were right. So you have what you need for the rehab. Worst case scenario, you were wrong and you have more than you need for the rehab. Neither one of them is a bad thing, though.